Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Hey, can we express our appreciation to our worship team? I tell you, they do a great job. Praise the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews the second chapter. We have all kinds of people here at North Central Baptist Church, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers in Jesus, and many watching today online are believers in Jesus, but not all. But we're all sitting here today and we're all listening because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus Christ and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. We are studying a subject in the book of Hebrews about drifting. There are five warnings in the book of Hebrews. There are warnings about drifting. There are warnings about rejecting growth. There are warnings about unbelief. This is the first of five major warnings in the book of Hebrews. The theme of our entire study is looking unto Jesus, taken from chapter 12, where it says, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we are to look unto Jesus, who is that author and finisher of our faith, and he'll keep us on track. Evidently, the believers that were written to were those that were wavering and holding on to the faith that they had embraced. They had heard about the message of Jesus Christ, and yet they were wavering. During the time period that Hebrews was written, this was a time of great persecution. And so they were in danger of drifting. I want you to find, there's just four verses of Scripture that we're going to study today. And this is warning number one, the danger of drifting. This is Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says this, "Therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." Now, have you ever been to the beach and you've been swimming, and all of a sudden you're out there swimming and you're looking and you see the folks you're with, maybe a tent you've set up or your family there, and all of a sudden you're out there swimming at the beach, and all of a sudden you realize you're not where you were before. You look at the beach and you have to look either one way or the other to find your family. What has happened? The undertow and the tide has moved you. You have drifted. Well, in some ways, we have that same challenge in our Christian life. Now, there are those that have rejected salvation. They are headed for doom. They are headed for judgment. We don't get a lot of preaching on judgment anymore, do we? But I will say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, the God who loves us is also a just God and must punish sin. The Lord will punish sin. Now, the great news of salvation is that Jesus has taken our punishment on himself on the cross. That is why salvation in Jesus Christ is such a great salvation. And so you have those that have rejected the great salvation of Christ, but then you have those who have neglected the great salvation that we have in Christ. These recipients of the book of Hebrews are believers that simply were tempted to just give up. They were drifting. There was persecution on the rise. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying to them, listen, you have such a great salvation, you must stay focused on your faith. So the three things I want to say to you related to this passage of Scripture. Number one, you must stay focused on your faith. It says there in verse 1, look at it. It says, therefore. What is the therefore, therefore? Well, all of chapter 1 was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He is the Son of God. He was the Creator. He made you. And then He is the one who has saved you. The Bible says He purged sins away. In the Old Testament, it says the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord has laid upon Him, upon who? Upon Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to kind of have this passage today as kind of a gut check for us as believers to say, listen, have we thought about the great salvation that has been provided? Jesus Christ took your sin. Jesus Christ took my sin upon Himself on the cross. And because of that, now I have the opportunity to know God in a personal way. I have an opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord. And so He is saying, the writer is saying to the Hebrews, he's saying, first of all, you must stay focused. Therefore, in other words, being reminded of what Jesus has done, we must. The word must means a strong necessity. You must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. Now, the more earnest need means to pay close attention to it and act upon it. In other words, the things that you have heard about your salvation, the things you know about how to grow spiritually, the things that you know about prayer, all of these things, do not take them for granted. Now, folks, let's face it. Let's get real here this morning. Y'all with me today? All right, y'all out there? All right, sometimes, you know, you get in a service. I tell them sometimes the musicians, you get in a service and you just need a little bit more connection with everyone. So y'all really try to focus. The Scripture says that we are to stay focused on our faith. But sometimes we've heard it all before. We become very familiar with church. We become very familiar with the things that the some people call it the language of Zion. In other words, the way we talk to one another. And it reminds me when you fly on an airplane and the flight attendants get up and they give you their spiel about safety. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the crew, I ask that you please direct your attention to the monitors above as we review the emergency procedures. There are 6 emergency exits on this aircraft. Take a minute to locate the exit closest to you. Note that the nearest exit may be behind you. Count the number of rows to this exit. Should the cabin experience sudden pressure loss, stay calm and listen for instructions from the cabin crew. Oxygen masks will drop down from above your seat. Place the mask over your mouth and nose like this. Pull the strap to tighten it. If you are traveling with children, make sure that you do your own mask is on first before helping your children. In the unlikely event of an emergency landing and evacuation, leave your carry-on items behind. Life rafts are located below your seats, and emergency lighting will lead you to your closest exit and slide. We ask that you make sure that all carry-on luggage is stowed away safely during the flight. While we wait for it to take off, please take a moment to review the safety data card in the seat pocket in front of you. Now, maybe you've flown a lot, maybe you haven't flown a lot, but that's sort of the spiel you get. I haven't flown all that much, but I've heard it enough to recognize it. And what am I normally doing during that time? I ain't listening to them. I've heard it over and over again. I will say this, I'm pretty dogmatic about wanting to know where my exit is. I do locate my exit, but after I locate my exit, I pretty much put the card in the thing and I go on. Well, what's happening is, in our Christian life, we've heard some of these things before and we're not focused upon it. And the Lord is challenging us today. The Lord is challenging through this book of Hebrews that we are to stay focused on our faith. And the scripture is saying we are to take a more earnest heed. That means to pay close attention and to act. And then what are we to pay close attention to? In verse 1, it says there, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, notice it says we, the things we have heard. He includes himself in this. And this is one of the reasons that most find that this is written to believers, because the writer of the book includes himself in that spot. He's speaking to believers. And he's referring to the message received through Jesus and the early Christians. He says, if we don't do that, if we don't take a more earnest heed, we run the risk of drifting away. Now, this is a nautical term. It's the idea, just like I use that undertow illustration. You know, you're out swimming around, and all of a sudden that undertow just kind of takes you, and you drift to the side, and you look up, and you say, where's my family? Where's everybody at? Well, you realize you've been taken off. Well, in the same way, if we don't focus upon our spiritual growth and focus upon the great salvation that Jesus has given us, one day we'll wake up and realize we have drifted away. We've moved. Now, did the Lord move? No. But we moved, and it's the picture of a ship that is in the harbor, but it's not anchored. Because other places in the book of Hebrews, he tells us to hold on. We are to hold on to our faith. We are to be perseverant in our holding on to our faith. And so the picture here is the picture of a ship in a harbor. If you left a ship in a harbor and it was not anchored to the seabed or to some dock or a place that was made for it to be still, then that ship in a number of minutes and another number of hours would begin to move and it would be out of the place that it was supposed to be. And that is the danger. All of a sudden we find ourselves drifting away. Now, at one time, now listen to me, church, at one time you were on fire for Jesus Christ. At one time, perhaps, you had been saved and you were in your Bible. You were in your Bible every day. You were in prayer every day, but not so much right now. How do you stay hot for Jesus? You do that by staying in the Word of God. You do that by staying in prayer, by sharing Christ, fellowshipping with others. And in many places in the book of Hebrews, we're going to be given warnings and instructions about how we are to do that. You know, I think about even in the times we're in right now with a pandemic. I was talking to some folks earlier today, and I've been thinking about this. Boy, this virus and the pandemic has really shaken up the church world, has it not? I mean, you think about it. We went from everything being in person. We had Sunday morning church. We had Sunday night church. We had Wednesday night church. We had other activities freely being done. And all of a sudden, when the thing hit, we went to totally online. And we've been grateful because the Lord gave us some great folks to help us know how to do that well. And our folks have stayed connected. But I tell you, when all of this, the dust settles from the pandemic, I wonder how it's going to affect the church and ongoing attendance. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Now, we are assembled today. You're here today. So I'm preaching to the choir, right? Y'all just smile and grin because you're here. But I will tell you this, how many believers, even when it's all over with, we will have found ourselves drifting and away from some of the things that were important to us in our spiritual growth. I think about when I was a little kid, we had 2-week revivals. Does anybody in here remember 2-week revivals? Okay, all 10 of us. Okay, wonderful. Okay, seriously, y'all, we used to have gospel meetings in churches, and it would go for 2 solid weeks. You start on a Sunday, you'd go around 1 week, and then you'd go around a whole nother week. 2 solid weeks. And then it went to 1-week revivals. Now, that was really what I remember after I gave my life to Christ. They would have a meeting and start on Sunday and go to the next Sunday. Normally, it necessarily might not have Saturday, but it'd go through Friday night. So you'd have like 1-week revivals. Then we did Sunday through Wednesday revivals. Y'all remember that? How many knows what I'm talking about? Sunday through Wednesday night. All right. Well, then we went to 1-day revivals. 1-day meetings. And in many ways, we don't even have the 1-day meetings anymore. Now, I'm not saying that means that we necessarily aren't as committed, but I will tell you this. It's just interesting how the culture changes, the currents of the culture move things. And the things that have been as important to us in other times are not quite as important. I remember taking some young people to a crusade in Hickory, North Carolina. We were there to be there from a Sunday through a Thursday night. We finished on Thursday, and then we always went somewhere fun on Friday, and we took them back to the church the next day. And so we were there in that meeting, and God got in that meeting. The Holy Spirit was moving in that meeting. It was in a tent. We were in a tent in Hickory, North Carolina. They had sent a television reporter there to report on it because there were big crowds that were coming. It was really a blessed thing. And the camera person and the reporter got saved. It was really the power of the Lord was there. And we were going to go home. We were going to finish out. They decided to continue the meeting. The pastor of that church decided to continue the meeting without us. They knew we had to go back. Well, the young people all came to me and they said, "We don't want to go to Six Flags." I can't remember if we were going to Six Flags or Carowinds or something for our fun day, Chris, at the end of that meeting. They came to me. They said, "Reverend Carr, we don't want to do that. We want to stay in the meeting." And I thought how unusual that is. You would normally think that, man, we'd be ready to go have our fun time, and they weren't. They wanted to stay, and I tell you, they kept going. That thing went on for 2 or 3 weeks because God's power was in it. All I'm saying is, if we're not careful, we'll be spiritually like we're in the undertow, and we'll allow the culture to take away the things that we know are important. Things like getting into God's Word every day. You hear this all the time. Like you hear the spiel from the flight attendant. We ought to be in prayer. You hear that all the time. And yet, if we're not careful, we find ourselves drifting. So the first thing is this. You must stay focused on your faith. Here's the second thing. You won't get away with a lazy faith. In verse 2, the scripture says this, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast," now he's talking about the Old Testament. If the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and obedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? It says in verse 2, it says, "For if the word spoken through angels," well, the law of the Old Testament was believed to have come from the Lord to the prophet, but angels were seen as delivering it. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, it says this at the end of that verse. It says, "And it was appointed," speaking of the law, "and it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator." So there was a sense that the Old Testament law was delivered by angels. And so here in Hebrews, the writer is saying to us, listen, you've got to be serious about your faith, your great salvation, and you will not get away with it. You will not get away with a lazy faith. Because just like in the Old Testament, the angels brought the law, and then it says in verse 2, that law proved steadfast. That word means binding. It meant the law was sure. Aren't you glad that the promises of God are sure? That's what the scripture's saying to us, that that word proved steadfast. It was sure. It was binding. It was dependable. It was reliable. And it says in the passage, it proved steadfast, and every transgression, that word means to overstep. You know, the word sin means missing the mark. The word transgression means if there's a line here and I step over that line, that is transgression. In other words, that is violation of the law. And so that is really the action of sin. And then it uses the word disobedience. And every transgression and disobedience, that word means a failure to listen. And it really is the attitude of sin. So he's saying you've got the action of sin and the attitude of sin. And he's saying, listen, we know that in the Old Testament times, the times that the angels brought that to the prophets and it was written down, we know that when they transgressed or disobeyed, there was a just reward. Now, it says they received a just reward. Of course, the word just means deserve. The word reward, it's interesting, it's kind of ironic because it's really a punishment that is given. David sinned and David paid a price. He was a man after God's own heart. And yet he transgressed and there was a price to pay. This is in Scripture a sort of ramping up of the truth. In other words, in verses 2 and 3, the writer of Hebrews is saying this, You see that this was true in the Old Testament. You better believe it's true in the New Testament. That's what he's saying in verse 3. You saw that this was true in the Old Testament. Those who transgressed, those who disobeyed received a just reward, a just reward. Well, you better bank on it that in the New Testament the same thing is going to happen. Look at verse 3. How shall we escape? The word how is a force of a strong negative. In other words, we shall in no way escape. So believers, here's the point. The point is, if we do nothing, listen, if we do nothing, we're going to drift. We've got to be proactive about growing and about keeping our faith hot for the Lord. And so it says, how shall we, or we shall no way escape, it says in verse 3, if we neglect, and the word neglect there means to ignore. If we ignore, how shall we escape if we neglect, if we ignore so great a salvation? It's the idea of not cherishing your salvation. It's the idea of not cherishing what is important. I think about spiritual breathing. You know, we all have to breathe. So what do? We inhale. And then what do? Say it quick. We exhale. We inhale. We exhale. I've thought about this. I know this is a simple way of thinking about it, but when we inhale, it's taking in God's word. It's listening to God. How does God speak to you? The Lord nudges our heart. He nudges our conscience, but all of that is based upon his word. It all happens because we have hidden his word in our life, and so we know the way the Lord thinks about issues. We know the way he believes, the way he instructs us in living, and so when we come to a situation, our heart is nudged by the Holy Spirit to do right because we know what the Lord thinks about that issue from his word. So we must inhale spiritually. That's taking in the word of God. Are you spending any time in God's Word? Hudson Taylor at one time had 1,000 missionaries on the field. He had more missionaries in the China Inland Mission than all the missionary agencies of the world. They said, Hudson Taylor, how did you get 1,000 missionaries on the field? He said, number one, in prayer. I've prayed about it and asked God to give them to me. He said, secondly, you have to get the people of God into the Word of God daily. He said, if you get the people of God into the Word of God daily, the Holy Spirit has the fuel to call them to make a difference in the world. And so that's inhaling. But then exhaling, that's prayer, spiritual breathing. If someone is not breathing, what are they? They're dead. They're dead. And so we need spiritual breathing. So I encourage you, do not neglect or do not refuse to cherish. That's the idea. So great a salvation that God has given to you in your life. Don't take it for granted, because what'll happen is you will end up judged. You will end up disciplined by the Lord. Now, our resident Canadian, Dave Wright, and his sweet wife, Joy. Notice I said Joy was sweet, not Dave. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But Dave is our resident Canadian. Those guys know all about Niagara Falls. They say, I've never been to Niagara Falls, but they say there is a place at Niagara Falls, there is a point of no return. And what that means is, there's a place, I don't care if you're in a speedboat, I don't care what you have, you're in some kind of kayak that you can really move fast on top of the water, it does not matter what you are. If you are past that point of no return, you are going over those falls. Because the rush of that water is too great for you to overcome it. And this is what happens to us. We will come to a point of no return where the judgment of God, the discipline of the Lord, will come upon us. So when we look at this danger of drifting, the first warning, you must stay focused on your faith, number one. Number two, you won't get away with a lazy faith, neglecting your salvation. And here's the third and the last thing. If you're saved, you have a confirmed salvation. Look at it. It calls it so great a salvation. Salvation is the full measure of deliverance that Jesus Christ has provided for us. There's three tenths to salvation. And what I mean, there's a past tense, there's a present tense, and there's a future tense. I've shared this with you several times. But we have been saved in the past. When did you get saved? In the past. You gave your life to Christ. You have been saved. That's past tense. You are being saved. That's in the present. And that's the process of sanctification, that God is making you more like Jesus every day as you grow in Him. So you are being saved. And then ultimately, in the future, you will be saved. This is when we get a new body. Okay? This is when everybody's going to be redheaded when we get up there. I'm just kidding. Not really. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, that's when we get a new body. That's future tense. So we have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. And so he's talking about this great salvation in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, it's been confirmed. And here's how it's been confirmed, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. All right? So it was confirmed by Jesus, confirmed by our Lord. In Mark chapter 1, it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So it was confirmed by Jesus. All right? The second thing is, it was confirmed by those who heard him. You see there in verse 3 at the end. And was confirmed by those who heard him. In other words, it's been passed down. These are second generation believers right here, because it says, and was confirmed to us. So even the writer of the book of Hebrews was not one that heard it from Jesus directly. Does that make sense? He heard it from others that it was confirmed by the Lord, and then it was confirmed by others to us, he says. That's one reason that many people don't believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, because in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says this, "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul claims to have the gospel been revealed to him on the Damascus Road by Jesus Christ himself. And so because the writer of Hebrews says in verse 3, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, next generation, many don't believe that Paul was the writer of the book of Hebrews. That's why it's not a done deal on who actually wrote this book. And so it was confirmed by those who heard him. And then look at this. It was confirmed by God, the Father. So Jesus confirmed it, salvation, past, present, and future. Those who heard him confirmed it and transferred it to the writer of Hebrews and those that heard the gospel that this book was written to. But then it was also confirmed by God. How was it confirmed by God? Well, it says in verse 4, God also bearing witness, both with signs, and that word means a mark, and wonders, and that means something to be watched. In other words, all these signs and wonders with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Now, we find in Scripture that God used miracles and signs in clusters. Whenever God was doing things supernatural and revealing himself to a people, oftentimes, before Scripture was written, he would use signs and wonders to validate it. And we find that the miracles were performed by the apostles. As a matter of fact, if you want to look back real quickly, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 43 real quick. Acts chapter 2, 43. I think they can get that on the screen. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. It says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Now, one of the things we find is that as the book of Acts tells the story, there were a lot more signs and wonders early on than as the canon of Scripture went on and on. We see a little bit less of the miracles and the signs and wonders. But wait a minute. Hold on. The Lord always has the ability and always, many times, does signs and wonders. Amen. He does miracles, but the greatest miracle of all is the changing of a life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So anyway, we see that this gospel, this salvation was confirmed. It was confirmed by signs and wonders. Now, what are some of the signs and wonders we've seen? We've seen lives change. We've seen grace bestowed upon people. You've seen it. I think about Jesus Christ changing my life as a teenager. He came into my life. I don't know where in the world I'd be without Jesus Christ. It's so crystal clear, the salvation that the gospel provided to me and changed my life. And I know about you as well. If you know Jesus in a personal way, you see the hand of God moving in your life. We see it in the life of our church. So he is confirming this great gospel. But the truth of the matter is, you have a confirmed and a great salvation. So therefore, church family, we need to make sure that we're not neglecting that. As much as I love us worshiping together on Sunday, and this is where we're commanded to do it, on the first day of the week, the people of God have gotten together to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But the truth of the matter is, if you're in here 1 hour a week, and we're on watching television hours and hours a week, and on our social media hours and hours a week, and we're not spending any time with the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually breathing. Inhale, then what? Say it fast. Exhale. Spiritual breathing, inhaling God's word, and then exhaling through prayer. Then what can happen is we can drift. When Michael was leading worship, he said, say a hymn. See if I can play it. Of course, how many people do you know can just do that? First of all, Michael, that's a great gift, brother. It's amazing. But I called out and said, come thou fount of every blessing. It's a great hymn. Robert Robinson wrote that hymn as a young man. He was converted under the mighty preaching of George Whitefield. You know, George Whitefield was a great preacher that traveled on horseback, and he would say, you need to be born again. Then he preached in some other town, he'd say, you need to be born again. And he'd go to some other town, he'd say, you need to be born again. And somebody said, why do you always say you need to be born again? He said, because you need to be born again. I mean, he was just the preaching and the distance traveled was amazing. Well, Robert Robinson was converted under the mighty preaching of George Whitefield. But later, and after he was converted, he wrote, come thou fount of every blessing. That's why I called that one out, because I knew I was going to tell you this story. So he wrote that hymn. He was a pastor, a young pastor, and he wrote that hymn. But later, as the years went on, he drifted from the Lord. He had been greatly been used as a pastor, but neglect of spiritual things led him astray. In an attempt to find peace, he began to travel. During one of his journeys, he met a young woman who was evidently very, very spiritually minded. She said to him, what do you think of this hymn I have been reading? She asked Robinson, handing him the book. It was his own hymn. He tried to avoid her question, but it was hopeless, for the Lord was speaking to him. Finally, he broke down and confessed who he was and how he had been living away from the Lord. But then the girl said, but these streams of mercy are still flowing. Streams of mercy, the hymn says, are flowing. And she said, the streams of mercy are still flowing. And the woman assured him, and through her encouragement, Robinson was restored to fellowship with the Lord. So here's my takeaways from today's message. Get out of your laziness. You think, I've heard it all before. And by the way, I'm preaching to myself today. I've been wrestling with this all week. Get out of your laziness. You think, I've heard it all before. Get into the Bible daily. Can you imagine the great salvation? I tell you one thing, folks. I was involved in a funeral memorial service yesterday, and as I was sitting there thinking about it, I thought this. It won't be 1 second in eternity that we won't be grateful for the salvation that we have. I mean, beyond measure, we'll realize that compared to everything else in this world, the salvation that Jesus has provided us is worth more than anything ever you could imagine. So I would say, get into the Bible daily. Get into prayer daily. The third thing I would say is this. Take a next step to grow. Take a next step to grow. Maybe it's to get plugged into a life group. We've got some that are here meeting in person. We've got some that meet online on Zoom right now. But get involved in the next step. Maybe a discipleship group. We've got a number of our men that are beginning men's discipleship groups. And maybe you're on the fence about whether you should do that or not. You ought to do it. Take the next step. to grow, faithful in worship. Maybe for some, the next step would be to be saved, to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe it's not that you have neglected so great a salvation, but to this point, you have rejected so great a salvation. And if in the Old Testament, transgressions and disobedience ended up with their just reward, how shall you ever think you would escape to reject so great a salvation that is given through Jesus Christ? So maybe for some here today, you need to get saved. You need to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you need to be baptized. The first act of obedience in following Christ is to be baptized. Maybe you need to unite with this fellowship to put yourself into a fellowship of believers to help you grow spiritually. But you need to take the next step to grow in your Christian life. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.